Now let's, there's a few scriptures I want to focus on today, but let's turn over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And I want us to start, usually we jump down and we look at, we usually jump right down and look at verse 13, which is good, we're going to get there. But I want to start looking at verse 5 today. And as we look at verse 5, Paul, writing to the Galatians, tells us exactly how God works miracles. And it tells us right here. So some of us say, well, I wonder how God works miracles. It's right here in verse 5. It says, he therefore, and he's talking to who? You. He's talking to us. He's talking to the Galatians. But he says here, he therefore, he's talking about God, he therefore that does what? Ministereth to you the Spirit and does what? Worketh miracles where? Among you. Doeth he it by what? The works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Ah. So here you go. He says, how does he perform miracles? Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, we can see this is how he performs miracles. And look what it says in verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God. So he's showing you here, he's speaking to the Galatians, and then he says, even as Abraham did. How did he? We'll go look at Abraham. But he said here, even as Abraham did what? Believe God. And it was what? Accounted to him for righteousness. And then jump down to verse 9. So then they which be of faith are what? Are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as of the works of the law are what? Are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. So here you can see how God operates miracles. He operates by what? By the law of faith. He responds to faith. God promises, and then he does what? He responds to faith. He watches over his word to perform it. So you can see here, and then we jump into verse 13. Well, let me finish. Let's read 12 again. And the law is not of faith, but the man that what? Doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we can see here, and let me just finish the thought here, verse 26, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. In verse 29, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So God here is saying in verse 6 that it is with us as with Abraham. How was it with Abraham? He just believed God. That's how it was with Abraham. He just believed God. He had faith that God would do exactly as he promised. So that's how he operates. Abraham was fully persuaded by the word of God alone. Listen to some... I'm going to read some other, let me not jump ahead here. Listen to this in Galatians 3 and verse 5. in the Message translation. Answer this. This is what it says. Answer this question. Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit, working things in your lives you could never do for yourselves? Does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust him to do them in you? That's how he operates. That's how he works miracles. That's how he operates healing. That's how he operates everything. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is what? That he'll do what he said he'll do. And he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Listen to this in the New Living Translation. It says, I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. This is the Amplified. Then does he who supplies you with his marvelous Holy Spirit and works powerfully and miraculously among you, do so on the grounds of your doing what the law demands, or because you're believing in and adhering to and trusting in and relying on the message that you heard? That's what he's looking for. He's looking for us to hear, trust, and obey. We're to hear the word, trust it, receive it, trust it, and obey. Hallelujah. Act on the word. Keep speaking the word. You know, I'm going to just share this from a previous lesson on Philemon 6, that I had shared this particular scripture, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. What's good in me? The word, the blood, the healer's in me. So I begin to acknowledge the promises of God. I begin to speak that. And that word, which I was sharing some notes from Rick Renner, he said the word effectual is the Greek word energeo. It's where we get the word energy. So he said Paul's words could actually, in other words, what he was saying is this word energeo carries the idea of something that has suddenly become energized and activated. So how do we activate the word of God? By communicating it, by speaking it. It's not by obeying the law. It's not by doing something. It's by what? Working the word of God. By speaking something in faith. Hallelujah. You energize the power of God. You activate it in your life. So this, he goes on to share some other things which we won't share. But turn over to Romans. Want to look at this here. We're looking at, even as Abraham believed God, well, how did he believe God? We said he just believed God. He was fully persuaded. So look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. We're familiar with these verses of Scripture in verses 16 through 25, but I want to look at just verses 19, 20, 21, and 22, just a few of these scriptures. But look at verses 19. It says, and being not what? Weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God, how? Through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, laughing at the circumstances, giving glory to God, thanking God for him doing what he said he would do, and being what? Fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. To him it shall be, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So you can see here that we're not to base our faith on our improvement in our bodies or our finances or what we see, but we're to place our faith solely on the Word of God. Amen. Whether we see improvement or not, whether we see conditions change or not, we're to trust God solely on his word. Amen. He watches over his word to perform it. Yes, yes. He will bring it to pass. So Abraham considered, you can see here, he considered not his own body, nor did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb as a reason or a barrier for doubting that Isaac would be born. He was fully persuaded. Now think about this. The conditions which, according to nature, he was what? He was about 100 years old. So according to nature, would have made Isaac's birth impossible. And these were not considered by Abraham as the reason for doubting. He knew his age. He recognized the barrenness of Sarah. He recognized it. I'm sure he weighed and considered the difficulty. I'm sure he did. But in the face of the impossible, he believed God. Amen. And that's where I'm coming from today, that there are people, I know of some, we have some in this congregation, that are facing circumstances where doctors have said, can't help you. Would you not consider that the impossible? Yes, it is. Now, when it comes to God, what does the scripture say in Matthew? It says, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And when we talk about all things are possible, we're talking about something that was provided for through redemption. The blood of Jesus has provided my redemption. I'm redeemed from the curse, not some of it, all of it. All things are possible. That means with man, when man says, it's not possible for you to be healed, it's not possible for this condition, you're going to have to live with this, I'm sorry. All things are possible. Amen. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear, what? Unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For what? They will be life and health to all your flesh. That means being fully persuaded. I want to show you something. Turn over. We're going to get to where we're going here, but turn over to John. I was looking this up this morning. Look at John chapter 4. You know, so often when we talk about miracles, we think miracles are, well, God performs miracles. But we all, sometimes in our humanness, we think miracles should be instant, don't we? How many figure, well, miracles something instant, right? It's instant. Well, let's look at the second miracle that Jesus did. Look at John chapter 4. And this is him going, verse 43, you can start, it starts, it says, "Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then he was come into Galilee," or when he was come into Galilee, what does it say next? "The Galileans did what? Received him." Oh, that's key right there. They received him, which means anything he's about to say, they're going to do what? Receive it. Are we receiving the word? So here it says here, "The Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast." So they saw it. "So Jesus came again into Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him," because he knew he's going to get something, "and he besought him that he would come down and do what? Heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man did what?
Believe.
He believed what? The word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Oh, man.
Hallelujah.
Now look what it says in verse 51. "And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth." But look what verse 52 says. It says, "Then inquired he of them the hour he began to what?
Amend."
Amend. Oh. He began to do what? Amend. It appears here from the scripture it was an instant. He began to amend. "And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house." This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So here he ties miracle with the amending or the healing of this young man. So you can see here that with man, things are impossible, but not with God. And so we've got to take the word of God, and you can see here the same thing with Abraham. Abraham just believed the word of God. He saw his condition. And so often, Brother Hagin said this through his life as a minister, a prophet. He said one of the reasons, or he said the prime reason, why people are not as productive in their faith and don't get the results in their faith is because they reject the watering process. And that is a significant saying for somebody in ministry over 60-some years. He said, people reject the watering process. He said, what does that mean? He said, people get excited when they hear the word the first time. They shout and dance and get happy. But then the second, third, and fourth time, he said, what happens is people say, I know that already. I heard that. So they reject the watering. The word has to be watered. And so, my son, attend, not attend once, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life and health to all your flesh. In order for you to get a crop, in order for you to have fruit in this area, you've got to let the word continually water. Listen to it. Meditate on it. So you can see here that as far as Abraham was concerned, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, but was what? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And so sometimes when we're faced with conditions, and again, I'm focusing on the body as far as healing is concerned, but it can be finances. I mean, if they make a drug today that you get instant results, I haven't seen it yet. The whole idea is they want to get you on a drug and keep you on it. And usually you don't amend. You're just stuck on it. But with God, the word is medicine. See, there's a difference between natural healing. You know, if somebody is naturally healed for something, the body will restore itself. But we're not talking about natural healing here. We're talking about divine, supernatural healing. We're talking about something that God provided. So what's impossible for man to cure is not it's not impossible for God. So don't let a condition that you're faced with, I don't care what it is, you take the word of God and you say, no, that's mine. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. To say, any one of us, for any of us to say, it's not possible, is a stench in God's nostrils for what was paid for my redemption. His shed blood was shed for my redemption. And so for me, any of us, we should be walking in divine health. But in order to walk in this divine health, we've got to meditate in the Word of God and to speak the Word of God and pronounce it over my body. Must. And the body itself, you know, when we talk about, Brother Hagin talked about this in his long life as a minister, he said most people that he laid hands on or he spoke healing to, maybe he didn't lay hands on them, he just spoke to them, they amended, they began to heal, their bodies began to restore from the moment hands were laid upon them or a word was spoken to them or over them. Not instant. And guess what? That's the same where your finances are concerned. That's the same with any of the promises of God. Things are not instant. And we need not get anxious. See, a lot of times people will say, well, I guess it's not working. Why do you say that? If you're fully convinced and fully persuaded, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So my faith is the ground on which my expectation rests. I expect to be healthy. I expect to be strong. I expect to be whole. I expect that every tissue and organ of my body functions normally. I expect health. I expect it because of what? The blood of Jesus. I expect it. And so, in that light, turn over to, jump over here for a moment here. We're back to this word blessed again. You can turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. But we ask this question, how many know what the word blessed means? And some raise their hand. But let me just read this. This is just from the Merriam-Webster dictionary. You can just go online and look this up in a dictionary. Of course, the old English term, B-L-E-S-T, or blessed, of course, most of what it says, it means to consecrate. It means to make holy. Hallow with blood. Interesting, isn't it? It means to speak well of. Of course, these are what we know. Approve, to have favor, to protect. But listen to this. The origin of the word blessed, or the etymology of it, it's from the Old English word B-L-E-T-S-I-A-N, but it says right along it, next to it, from the word blood. Its origin, the word blessed, the origin of that word comes from the word for blood. Isn't that interesting? You look it up. I just took the note off from Merriam-Webster. It says, the origin of the word blessed comes from the original word for blood. Now think about this. What did the high priest do? When we can look at the Old Testament, what did the high priest do? He went into the Holy of Holies and he sprinkled or applied the blood. But when he came out, he did what? He pronounced a blessing. Because of the blood. And that's why I say the blood has purchased everything. It's purchased your health. It's purchased your salvation. It's purchased your protection. It's purchased everything. The blood has. So with man, things are impossible, but not with the blood. I'm blessed because of the blood. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed because of the blood. I'm healed because of the blood. I'm prosperous because of the blood. It's because of the blood that I'm blessed. Hallelujah. You can look these things up. Meditate on them. Think about this here. I know you're in Ephesians 1. Just back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to receive communion today. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. I want you to look at it. Look at verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll wait till you get there. I want you to see it. Because we're tying the blood with being blessed. Everybody there?
Yes.
It says here in the King James, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? We are blessed because of his blood.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And the devil knows it. He knows that you're blessed, but he wants to remind you of what a dirty dog you are. And he wants to bring up your past. But I thank God that Jesus sent us a helper. He sent us who? An advocate. I'll tell you, you ever get in a court situation, it's good to have a what? An advocate. You can tell you, oh, no, no, no. plead this. Your advocate will tell you what to plead. I'll tell you what we plead. We plead the blood. And our advocate will tell you, no. You're redeemed because of the blood. You're blessed because of the blood. You're healed because of the blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now look at Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at Ephesians now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath what? Blessed us with all what? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ, or you could say what? In the blood. We're blessed because of the blood. Glory to God. Verse 7, in whom what? We have redemption. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You don't even have access into grace except through the blood. Amen. So the blood has purchased this grace that we operate in. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we are blessed. Amen. That means everything in heaven belongs to you, and in Christ, every spiritual blessing belongs to you because of the blood. Amen. Because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So you can see here that the blood of Jesus in this passage, where Galatians 3:5, God tells us that he works miracles upon our bodies in exactly the same way as our souls by hearing and believing the word of God, the gospel. God's way of doing everything is by making promises and then fulfilling them wherever they produce faith. Wherever the word of God produces faith, he moves. Amen. What did he say to the woman with the issue of blood? He said, woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. So he preached the gospel. A lot of people heard it. But did he respond to everybody? No. He responded to those who had faith. And for us, in whom we have redemption through his blood.
Amen.
Have faith in the blood. When circumstances look like they can't change, you're redeemed because of the blood. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places because of the blood.
Amen.
And if you can't get happy over that, I don't know what you can get happy over, but I'll tell you, that makes me, that thrills my spirit,
yes,
that I'm redeemed because of the blood.
Yes.
I'll tell you, it's real to me because I've been in circumstances and situations where I've spoken the blood and things change.
Amen.
I speak it over my body. I plead the blood over my body. I plead the blood as I travel. I plead the blood as I set my hands to things. Because the blood speaks and things have to change. They have to change. And I don't think we've put enough emphasis on the blood of Jesus. And I don't think we've leaned hard enough or we've put enough faith in the blood. Hallelujah. So that word blessed, its root, the root of that word comes from the word blood. So you are blessed because of the shed blood of Jesus. Isn't that exciting? I'll tell you, that's exciting to me. So the next time you get into a tough spot, you just start to say, no, the blood of Jesus, I command you to change. In Jesus' name, I command this to change. See, this is, we've gotten so far away, we've been so westernized that I'm sure, you know, you go over to some of the eastern countries, I haven't traveled overseas in those areas, but they're still slicing goats' necks and pouring the blood out. They're doing all of this today. So that is more familiar to them of shedding blood. We go to the store and everything's already packaged. It's, you know, if you had to go out and slice and prepare, you'd be like, gross. Just give me it already done. No. See, they understood. They understood the meaning.
Amen.
So for us, let's put our faith in the blood of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Christ hath, not going to, he's already done it. He hath redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. He shed his blood for me. And because of that, I'm blessed. I'm healed. I'm prosperous. Why? Because of the blood. Because of his shed blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's say this. I am blessed. Because of the blood of Jesus, I'm redeemed because of the blood of Jesus. I am healed because of the blood of Jesus. I am prosperous because of the blood of Jesus. I'm delivered from darkness because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, that word that came forth this morning, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ because of the blood. And we operate from a place of victory because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Never forget it. Never let that slip. Never let it get far from you. Hallelujah. There was a great price paid for our redemption.